right. Exodus in chapter number 8 in the Word of God. We're going to begin reading in verse number 1. Lord willing, we'll read down through verse number 15. The Bible said, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, Go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite all thy borders with frogs, and the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, and into thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and into the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thine ovens, and into thy kneading troughs, and the frogs shall come up both on thee, and upon thy people, and upon all thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Say unto Aaron, Stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments, and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron, and said, Entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, Glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? And he said, Tomorrow. And he said, Be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from thee, and from thy houses, and from thy servants, and from thy people. They shall remain in the river only. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought up, brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. And the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, and out of the field. They gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said." Now may the Lord add his blessing to that. Let's go to him in just a moment of prayer, okay? Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, for the good Sunday school time this morning, the good song service and the fellowship. Thank you, Lord, for the precious Word of God, how precious it is to our hearts. You said it's more precious than gold, yea, than much fine gold. That is because it has the power to give life to the dead, has the power, Lord, to correct us and comfort us, and to carry us into the bosom of God when we die. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of preaching this morning. Now I pray that you're blessed as I stand before your people. I ask you, Lord, to fill me with your Spirit, bless me with your power, and do me, Lord, with great wisdom and grace and mercy for the people. I do ask you, Lord, to get honor and glory unto yourself. May the presence of Christ be felt in this place, experienced in this place today. May the Spirit of God breathe upon us the breath of God, and save those that are lost. I do ask you, Lord, to help the sick and those that are away from us today. Give them divine grace, I pray, and healing for their bodies. I do ask you, Lord, to bless now in a special way, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I failed to mention this morning, we want to be praying for Josh. He's up courting this weekend in North Carolina, so we want to pray for that young fella while he's away from us. All right, I want to preach this morning. I want to put this into proper perspective so you'll understand where I'm coming from. And don't want anybody getting excited now when I tell you what I'm going to be preaching on. Don't get no bad thoughts. I'll explain myself here just in a minute. But I want to preach this morning on this thought: a God that stinks. And I'm talking about a God with a small G. Small D. A God that stinks. I want to preach on that a little while this morning, God being my helper, and do my best to help you along a little bit in the Word of God. You know, as I've said so many times in our study of these plagues that came upon the nation of Egypt, that the Nile River was an object of worship to the Egyptians. In fact, it had become in their eyes a birthplace of many gods. The reptiles that were there, the snakes and the fish and so forth, they had made to become gods. They had made images of them and bowed down to them. That even made the river itself an object of worship. And it had become a god to them. And in the first plague, the river was turned to blood. And the Bible said that all of the fish died. And in chapter 7 and verse number 21, it makes this statement. It said, after those fish died in that river, it said that, and the river stank. And then likewise, in the second plague, God brought frogs up out of the river. And in verse number 6, it said the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. The frogs, like the serpents and the fish that lived in the Nile, had become a god to the Egyptians. In God's determination to deliver Israel, He had once again struck a blow to the very heart of Pharaoh's religion and idolatry. The frog, in many ways, was looked upon by them as and considered to be by them to be a god. But the frogs, the Bible said, the frogs died, that God killed them. And in verse number 14, the Bible said, they gathered them together, those frogs upon heaps, and the land stank. And so there the fish in the Nile that was worshipped as a god stank before the people. And the frogs that God brought up out of the Nile that had been a source of worship to them and was a source of idolatry in the land of Egypt, God killed them out as Moses entreated him to do. They were piled up into piles, and the Bible said, piled up into heaps, and because of that, the land stank. Now, I want to mention this before we go any further this morning, okay? The Bible said there in verse number 2 that the borders, that the borders of Egypt, that these frogs were brought up in the borders of Egypt. Now, that's an amazing thing if you can get a hold of it. What God is saying here is that He allowed those frogs to go nowhere but in the land of Egypt. He established a boundary for them, and they were not to cross over that boundary. And the reason being is because the judgment was not upon their neighbors. The judgment was upon Pharaoh and the land of Egypt. Because of their idolatry, because of their mistreatment to the people of God, and God sent this judgment upon them that He might deliver Israel from their bondage and bring them into a great place, into the land of Canaan, a land of milk and honey. Amen. A great place to live for them, a Spirit-filled life for them. Now, the Bible said there also that the magicians, the Bible said that the magicians also brought frogs up on the land. And, you know, it amazes me, though, that when the frogs came up and they became too much for Pharaoh to handle, he didn't go to the magicians for any help. He went to Moses and he asked Moses, said, entreat the Lord that He take the frogs away from us. And he didn't go to the magicians. Now, the magicians had enough power, and I believe they brought up frogs. They had enough satanic power that they had the ability to bring those frogs up. But the judgment was of God, and the punishment was of God. They had the ability and the power to bring them up, but they certainly did not have the power to get rid of them. Now, I said that to say this morning, ladies and gentlemen. The devil has power, but I'm glad that our God has all power. The devil can do some things, but our God can do all things. Amen? And God's simply showing Pharaoh here. And by the way, this is the last time that the magicians are able to duplicate the power that came from the rod that was held in the hand of Aaron. They're not able to do that no more. When God brought this judgment up and the magicians brought it up, They didn't have the power to get rid of it, and they didn't have the power to bring the next judgment upon the land of Egypt either. And all they could do, and they gathered up those frogs, and the Bible said they stank. The river stank. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying that the Egyptians had a stinking God. Amen. And I say this to, you this morning, that anybody now, I don't care where they live, in Egypt, America, where they might live, if they're caught up into idolatry and idolatrous worship, their God is a stinking God. Amen. My God don't stink. Hallelujah. My God puts off a sweet-smelling savor. Amen. That's not only sweet to the smell, but it's sweet to the heart, sweet to the life, sweet to the soul, and it'll be sweet to us when we get on the other side. Amen right there. That's right. Hallelujah. Now, if I can find out where I'm at here, they had no power to rid the land, these magicians didn't, of the menace of these frogs. In verse 8, Pharaoh's request, entreat the Lord that he might take away from us these frogs. Satan had the power to bring them up, but he certainly did not have the power to do away with them. Now, I want to say some things about these frogs before I get to the message. The Egyptians considered it a necessity, and by the way, by the river. The Egyptians considered it a necessity to their religion to purify themselves by frequently washing in that river. Does that bring any kind of religion to you? I'm telling you, as I read through these plagues more and more all the time and see the idolatry of Egypt, which is the top of the world, I don't have any problem relating their idolatry to what's going on in America today. I want to say something else. It tells me that tradition can follow people a long, long way in history, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. And idolatry can follow people a long, long way in history, because what they were doing back then, there's people in America, all over America, that are doing it today. They went to that river to wash, to purify themselves. Now, I'm going to tell you, that river might have washed their flesh, but it certainly didn't purify their heart. Now, I'm telling you right now, you can get dunked in that baptistry all you want to, and it may just clean your flesh, but it will never purify your heart. Amen. It's not by the water fountain that a man is cleansed. It is by the precious blood of the Son of God. What can wash away my sin? Nothing. I want to say it one more time. Nothing but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not in that water fountain, like them water dogs want to tell you. Amen. Get in that baptistry and wash away your sins. That's a bunch of junk. That's idolatry. Now, I'm going to tell you, people that believe that's got a stinking God. Amen. Come on now. Somebody say amen. That's right. Now stay right with me. Stay right with me. The Church of Christ does that today. They do that today. But it's only by the blood. They'll tell you in a minute that Acts 2:38. That friend, you got to get in that baptistry to get your sins washed away. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If waters, I've preached this so much, I'm out of time. But I'm telling you, if waters could get rid of our sins, will somebody in here stand up and testify and tell me why Christ died? Christ died and shed His blood for the remission of the sins of many. And it's not by that water. I won't say again, it is not by that water. I think every born again child of God ought to be baptized in a fundamental, independent, Bible-believing Baptist church. But I'm telling you, that does nothing but put you in the church. It does not wash away your sin. Amen. I challenge anybody to prove me wrong on that in the Bible. I don't believe they can do it. Amen. That's right. Now, get a hold of this. Pharaoh was by his office not only a king, but Pharaoh was also a priest as well as a king. And the priests were required, according to a historian by the name of Herodotus, to wash themselves twice a day in cold water. Twice a day in cold water. I can see here now how religious traditions contaminate even those that follow after those who first view it as a sin. Now, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm talking about Israel. I'm talking about Israel. This thing followed Israel all the way to the days of Christ. When God brought Israel out of the land of Egypt, I got news for you. They brought some of the idolatry out of the land of Egypt with them. You can mark that. Somebody said, where do you see that, Brother Hall? I see it in the lives of the scribes and the Pharisees. You know, the Pharisees, they wouldn't even eat without washing their hands before they ate every time. They criticized the Lord and His disciples for plucking corn on the Sabbath day and eating corn without first washing their hands. And they had many such traditions, like washing vessels and pots and glasses and pans and things, all the time washing. And you know what the Lord told them they were doing? The Lord said, what you're doing, said, you're cleaning up the outside, but said, your inside is full of dead men's bones. Your inside is as filthy as it ever was. Now I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that priest Pharaoh might go down to the river of Nile and wash in that water, but it's done absolutely nothing for his heart. Those Pharisees might wash in their hands in water, but it's done nothing for their heart. They might wash their pots and pans, but it's done nothing for their heart. They're like whited sepulchers that look good on the outside, but on the inside they're full of dead men's bones. Somebody say amen right there. God help us, we're living there today. But if people want to clean up the outside of their life, get their hair cut right, come on in the house, get their hair cut right, put on the right kind of clothes, make people, spray on cologne, perfume, make people think they got something. I'm going to tell you, they might look all right on the outside, but on the inside, friend, they're filthy and nasty and still ungodly and depraved as what they ever was. You listen to me. I'm telling you, there's more people in our church today that is putting on a religious sham than any generation I've ever seen. And that's all that was in his day. It was a religion, but it was a religion without God. There's many today that have religion, but to have a religion without God. I got almost sick to my stomach when I read that article that Brother Hurford brought in, because over and over and over it repeated the word religion. I want to tell you something, bless your heart. I don't have religion. I've got salvation in the old-fashioned way. I've been to Calvary and been born again by the grace of Almighty God, washed in His blood, amen, saved, sanctified, and sealed unto the day of redemption. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. Fooey on religion. Religion will take you to hell, friend. I'm glad I got salvation in the old time way. Amen. I'm a Bible believer. Somebody say amen right there. Now, the frogs, being in abundance, can you get a hold of this now? It kept Pharaoh from the river and his washings, as well as prevented him from his idolatrous worship. I believe there were some, the Bible said, and the frogs covered the land. They wasn't just a few of them, folks. Hey, they believed that these frogs were gods. They wasn't just a few of them, but the Bible said they covered the land. And you can believe what you want to believe, but I'm reading between the lines. I believe those Egyptians got in their house, closed their doors, done everything they could to keep them out. But I'm going to tell you, God found a crack to get them in. Amen. But I believe they felt safer in the house than they did outside. They didn't want, and I don't think they wanted to step on one of them frogs. They're afraid they might have been stepping on a god. Like them folks over in India, they won't eat a cow. They're afraid they might be eating their first cousin or somebody. Hey, God, let them ship their cows over here. I'll eat every one of them. Amen right there. Amen. That's right. But I'm telling you something. Hey, look here. Somebody said, what did God do that for? Pharaoh couldn't get to his God. He could not get to that river. Now, somebody said, preacher, what are you trying to say? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm trying to say this, that I see through that a ray of God's mercy being extended to Pharaoh. God is keeping Pharaoh from his God, that he might point Pharaoh to the Lord, amen, and warn him of the wrath that is to come. I'm telling you, God in wrath remembers mercy, ladies and gentlemen. Although the wrath of God had fell upon the nation of Egypt, God was still extending mercy to those folks and trying to point out to them that the Lord, He is God, and beside Him there is none else. God help somebody that worship a frog or a snake. Amen. I ain't got to the message yet, so you just stay with me. Amen. Now, the Egyptian god, an Egyptian god called Thata, having the head of a frog, get this now, represented the creative power of deity. They even worshipped a frog that supposedly created the world. Now, I don't know how that frog done that. And I don't know which frog it was. Because I've seen a lot of frogs, and to me, a frog is a frog, is a frog, is a frog. I see no difference in any of it. But I'm going to tell you what, there's a whole lot of difference between me and God.
Amen.
I've not seen Him with the naked eye, but I've seen Him with the eye of faith. I've seen Him yonder hanging on Calvary. Look up Calvary's mountain this morning. There's our God shedding His blood for our sins on the cross. Their God's a speaking God, piled up in heaps and dead, but our God is a dead, was dead, and now He's alive, amen, forevermore, somebody say amen. Their God was alive and died, and He's dead. Oh, but our God was alive and was dead, and behold, He said, I live forevermore. I'm He that was alive and was a dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, is what He said in the book of the Revelation. Don't have a dead God, I've got a living God, friend. Amen. It is also said, get this now. I'm telling you, you may not get none of it, but I'm liking it. How many ever heard a frog croak? My daddy used to say, they'd say, meep, meep, meep. Then he'd croak something else. He said, I ain't going to tell you what that was. But you heard of a frog's croak. You can go out at night in the country. Hear them old frogs just a croaking. We've heard them down there. Brother Simpson's running around that ponds of his, just a croaking and carrying on down around them frogs. And here's what it said, that the croaking of those frogs could be heard by weary travelers. And they worshiped those frogs so much that they said those frogs would lead these weary travelers to the river to be refreshed by drinking of the water of that river. The frogs led them to the water. You get the picture on that? The frogs led them to the water. Frogs might have led them to the Nile, but I'm going to tell you something. The Holy Ghost led me to the living water.
Amen.
You can drink all the water out of the Nile you want, and you're going to die, but I'll tell you what. Jesus has got a drink of water. You'll drink it and never thirst again. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is the living water. Thank God I'm glad that I got a good drink out of the well of grace one day, and I can go back to that well of grace any time I want to. But
amen.
And get me another drink. Amen. That's right. That is right. Can you imagine a frog taking the place of the Holy Ghost? Brother, I'm going to tell you something. If the Holy Ghost didn't bring you to Jesus, you ain't never been brought there.
That's right.
Amen. That's right. The Holy Ghost got to get a hold of a man or a woman's heart. That's called conviction, by the way. Amen. And it's not a fact that you're worried about dying. A lot of folks want to use God as a fire escape. Amen. They don't want to go to hell, so I'll use God as a fire escape. I'm going to tell you what you got to know to get saved is that you have transgressed the law of God. That you have stepped on God's holiness, you have disobeyed what God has said. And I tell you, when you repent of that and turn to God, He will forgive you your sin, point you toward Calvary, and show you and reveal to you the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I want to read you something. I just mentioned the word repent. I want to read this to you. There's two kinds of preaching. There is a kind of preaching that will never arouse the devil. Too much of the preaching today is too nice, too pretty, too dainty. Some people won't come to hear me because they are afraid to hear the truth. They want deodorized, disinfected sermons. They are afraid to be stuck over the edge of the pit and get a smell of the brimstone. You can't get rid of sin as long as you treat it as a cream puff instead of a rattlesnake. You can't brush away sin with a feather duster. If there's anything that will make the devil roar, it is a sermon on repentance.
Amen.
That ain't Gary Hall saying that either. Y'all want to know who said that? Evangelist Billy Sunday. Made that statement a long time ago. Now I'm telling you what, it will stir the devil up and it'll stir people up when you tell them they're not going to heaven unless they turn from their sin. That's what repentance is. You can't hug sin, bless God, and go to heaven when you die. One preacher said you can't lean toward hell all your life and go to heaven when you die. It don't work. Now I'm tired of going to funerals. Bless God, everybody dies is going to heaven. I've got news for you. Everybody that dies is not going to heaven. Those that die in Christ will go to heaven, but those that die outside of Christ are going to hell. And it's time somebody told them they're going that way. I'm not a bit afraid to look a man or a woman in the face and tell them unless they've been born again by the grace of God, they're going to hell. They're going to the charred walls of the dam. They're going to burn in hell forever and ever and ever. And I'm telling you, that's a long time. And whenever and ever and ever is over, you still got forever and ever and ever to look at. That's right. They had a thinking God. Piled their God up in heaps and it stank. That's right. I'm glad I got a God that saves. Amen. Now I'm telling you, I'm glad the Holy Spirit led me to a water that I took a drink of that I never thirst again.
Amen.
It wasn't a croaking frog that got me there either.
Right.
Amen. Amen. Now, the Egyptians were powerless against the frogs. The more they killed, the more the river produced. Moses intervened for them and dried up that river. And they piled them up in great heaps. They became corrupt, and all of Egypt stank. All of it. God proved to them they had a stinking God.
Amen.
Done His best to turn them unto Him. Now, I'm just about to the message. The frogs, and get this now, the frogs were not simply an inconvenience to the Egyptians, but they were a punishment to them for their idolatry. And it was God's justice upon them. And I'm telling you, are you listening to what I'm saying? I'm telling you that God's justice will come upon idolatry again. The more I study about these plagues and the deliverance of Israel out of Egypt, the more clearly I see that the greatest sin in the world against God is idolatry.
Amen.
Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now I'm telling you, friend, a God is whatever you make it. Amen. You can just about make it. You about make a God of anything you want to. Anything you put before God is your God. And it's idolatry. Anything. I don't care what it is.
Amen.
A lot of people put their ambition before God, and that ambition becomes their God. A lot of people are too lazy to come to God. Amen. That laziness becomes their God. A lot of people won't sit home on Sunday mornings and watch television. That television's their God.
Amen.
You don't believe me? Watch them. They'll bow down to the thing. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying now? You make God out of anything, friend. Men can make work out of a God. My grandfather worked for a place called Louisville Cement Company. It's still in Sellersburg, Indiana today under a different name, and I can't think of the name of it right now. But he worked there for 44, 46 years and retired as a supervisor for that company. I don't know how much money he made, but he was very wealthy when he died. I didn't get none of it. My mama got $50, I think. Amen. And I won't want to get into all that. But anyway, he worked there 40-some years, and he just lived across the highway, and after he retired, he just packed his lunch every morning in his lunch bucket, headed across the highway and went to work. And finally one day they said, George, you can't come over here anymore. Said our insurance don't cover you over here. And he couldn't understand that. He wanted to keep going back there to work. Somebody said, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying probably, without a doubt, now I hate to say this, but that workplace become my grandfather's God. It become his God, and I hate to say it, but he's probably in hell to do this morning. I hate to say that, but it's probably a fact. I'm telling you, he could not get away from that job, ladies and gentlemen. It had a hold on him. God, I'm telling you, I'm not putting a job or money or nothing else before God. I'm going to serve God. Amen. Come Gehenna or high water. I'm going to serve God. Amen. There have been a lot of people that's given up a lot more money than most of us in here has got to serve God. And there have been a lot of people that's got money that's given away a lot of money in serving God. R.J. Letourneau got to the point, and was a man that invented these big Euclids and earth movers and all this machinery. He wound up giving 90% of his income to God, living off of 10%, and couldn't spend the 10. Because they love God.
Amen.
Not everybody can handle money like that, though.
Right.
A lot of people get a little money and it goes to their head, friend.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. Hallelujah. I ain't laying out of the house of God to make money.
Amen.
That's why I don't... I just might as well blow her out. That's why I don't believe in these so-called Christian athletes.
Right.
I read about some of them the other day. They said, boy, we really love Jesus. I said, they love Jesus? And they're out there playing ball every Lord's Day and Wednesday night. When do they ever go to church?
Right.
I guess there are a lot of other people. They just have church wherever they were, two or three are gathered together, and they get in a clubhouse and say something or something or other. I don't know about that.
Amen.
Church is not hey, people want to use that wherever two or three are gathered together. My name, there will I be in their midst. They want to use that as a church. I've got news for you. There's only one thing wrong with that. It's not a church.
Amen.
To begin with, the church got to have a pastor. Say amen right there.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And it ought to have elders and deacons. Say amen right there.
Amen.
That's right. I won't charge anything for that. Now, I want to mention three things and I'm done. I want to mention, first of all, the invasion of the frogs in verse number 3. Look what it says, and the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, and into thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and into the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thine ovens, and into thy knitting trough. And the frogs shall come up both on thee and upon thy people, and upon all of thy servants. These frogs, first of all, invaded their home. Can you imagine living in your home with a house full of frogs? I guarantee you there wasn't much peace. There couldn't have possibly been much peace in that house with a stinking God in their house. The God that I have doesn't come to my house and stink. The God that I have doesn't come to my house to deprive me of peace. Oh, the great God of glory, even the Lord Jesus Christ, comes into a man's home to bring peace to that home. Thank God, I'm glad there'll be no peace in that home without the Lord being the head of that home. I'm telling you, Jesus ought to be the head of every home in here this morning. Say amen right there. Praise God. That's right. He ought to be the head of every man. A man ought to be the head of every woman. Somebody say amen right there. Somebody said, who's the woman ahead of? Nobody. She's a neck. The neck turns the head. Say amen right there, lady. Amen. All right. They had no peace. But the Bible said in John 16:33, Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace. He said in Matthew 10:13, and when you come into a house, salute it, and if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But I'm telling you, there wasn't any peace in the homes in Egypt that night. Living another night with the frogs. One more night with the frogs, friend. I'm going to tell you, there wasn't any peace in any home there. I'll guarantee you on that. Because it said it got into their homes. It got into their bed chambers. It got in their bedroom. That wasn't enough. They crawled up in the bed with them. How would you like to be laying in your bed at night and a big frog come crawling up on top of you? I remember a couple of years ago when them flying squirrels got in our house. And I was laying there in the bed, dark as a sack of black cats in that house, and had my head laying there, and I said, honey, I hear something. She said, oh, you're just hearing things. I said, no, I hear something scratching. She said, honey, it's the air conditioner. You're just hearing things. So I laid there a minute, and I said, honey, I hear something. She said, I wish you'd go to sleep. There's nothing there. And about that time, one of them ground squirrels, son, come up from the headboard crack and between the mattress and the headboard. And that dude come up on my head, down my face. And when he did, when he got on the blankets, I went, phew! And I heard him, phew! Hit out there on the floor. And I'm going to tell you, I retrieved the broom and went after it. Somebody said, did you get him? I hate to tell this story to all them folks out there, you know, that are animal lovers. But I trapped him in Miss Hall's computer room. And I'm telling you, me and that broom and that flying squirrel went round and round. And he lost! I broke the handle out of the broom, but I got that flying squirrel, amen. Trapped another one under the washer, a dishwasher, and wanted to shoot the thing with a gun. Miss Hall said, no, you'll break something. Brother Steve was over here. He said, preacher, you'll shoot a hole through the water line. You'll shoot a hole. I'm telling you, we let that and get away, but we caught him later. He wouldn't have got away, been left up to me, buddy. I'd have shot him. You think, hey, I'm going to tell you, you think you don't get mad. I was coming to church on a Wednesday night. That little dude was in the house. And I looked up on the top of our stairs. You all have been in our house and how the stairs goes up and it turns this way. And that rail goes up and it turns like this. And right here by the wall, stood one of them little dudes, his tail. Hey, sucker, buddy. I went up them steps after him. That squirrel took flight. I didn't get him then, but I got him later. What are you saying? I'm saying that was one, two little flying squirrels. They like to drove me nuts. Can you imagine a whole house full of frogs? Hey, look here. That you said were your God? And yet rather than giving you peace, they're tormenting you. They're aggravating you. They're agitating you. They're depriving you of peace. And you call them your gods? Hey, Egypt had a stinking God, ladies and gentlemen. And they proved to stink when they piled them up in heaps.
Yes, sir.
Amen, that's right.
Amen.
Now listen carefully. There was no purity in that home.
Right. Amen.
Now I'm not going to go back to it, but he couldn't get to the river to purify himself. But there was no purity in that home. There was, hey, and by the way, there was no God. There was no pity in that home.
Right.
Do you think God pitied Pharaoh because he was a king? That Bible, hey, that Bible said that they come up on Pharaoh's house, into his people's house, into his servant's house. They covered the whole land of Egypt. Amen. Somebody come on and say amen right there. Hallelujah. Got into his bed, into his bedchamber. He had no peace. He had no purity. And he had no rest. How can you rest with a bed full of frogs? Now, I'm going to tell you what my God does. According to Isaiah 11:10, said, and in that day shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand up for an ensign for the people, to tell, and it shall the Gentiles seek, and to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. That's my God, ladies and gentlemen. He doesn't aggravate me in my bedchamber. He doesn't torment me in my home and in my bed. Oh, no, he gives a peace, and it's not just peace. It is a glorious peace. I'm going to tell you why it's a glorious peace. Hallelujah. Because he's a glorious God. Everything about him is glorious. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's a glorious God.
Amen.
Amen. Give God the glory this morning. We've held back from that a long, long time.
Amen.
Give him the glory for what he's done. He died on Calvary and rose again. And we might be justified from our sins, boy. It's time that we give God the glory
Amen.
For what he's done.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
That is exactly right. My God gives rest. That also says it come upon the people and upon the servants. There was no respect of persons with God. God doesn't have any respect of persons. Now, notice, secondly, not only the invasion of the frogs, but the imprisonment of the frogs.
Amen.
Somebody said, preacher, what on earth do you mean? Well, the Bible said in verse 6, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. They were in the houses also, but the land, as I said earlier, was covered. They could not get out of their houses. You know why I believe the Lord did that? He put them in prison for a little while to let them experience what bondage is all about. Most Baptists have no earthly idea what bondage is all about. They think in their sin that they're free. Oh, I've got liberty so I can do as I want to. I can sin. God will still love me. I can do whatever I want to. There's only one thing wrong with that. You can't.
Right.
Not if you're saved, you'll do what God wants you to do.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Amen. And if you're not, God knows how to spank your rear end to get you where you ought to be. God knows how to chastise and God knows how to correct and will those that are His. I won't say this and I don't say it in an honorary, but there are no bastards in the family of God. God is our Father or He's not our Father. One of the two.
Amen.
Better believe that's right. There ain't no in-between ground, friends. Amen. That's right. God showed them what it was like to be in bondage. And I'm here to tell you, till a sinner gets saved, they're in bondage to sin. Can't get away from it. It's like that drunk got to have one more drink. And that doper got to have one more shot of dope.
Right.
I don't want to go there. Oh, but I've never seen our blessed country the mess that it's in today. May God take mercy on us. People think they're free. They got liberty. They run to ball games. They go here. They go there. They do this. They do that. And they think that's having liberty and don't have enough sense to realize that they're in bondage to the very thing they're doing. Thank God when the sun passed by my way, the sun made me free, thank God. And if the sun will make you free, you'll be free indeed. Oh, what did I bet it was a wonderful morning when old Pharaoh walked over that door and said, well, let's see if God got rid of them frogs. I don't see none in the house. And he opened the door and the frogs was gone. He said, free at last. That's what every sinner says. God comes to that prison door. Like he did that old Philippian jailer and all of them. It was on the inside. That earthquake, the ground began to shiver and shake. The Bible said, and the prison doors were open. Amen. And the chains fell off. I'm telling you, that's when Silas and Paul began to sing and to pray. Hallelujah. We had a big earthquake. That's right. We need some earthquakes today. We need God to shake the earth around some people today and shake your prison door open. I guarantee these people right in this very church building this morning that you're behind the bars of sin, the prison bars of sin. Now I'm telling you, unless God passes by and opens that door, you will spend another night with the frogs tonight, ladies and gentlemen. One more night in that house with the frogs. Amen. That's what I'm saying. It won't be long until you'll say, Lord, get these frogs out of here. But don't be like Pharaoh. When Pharaoh saw the frogs were gone and saw that he had found, is the word correctly pronounced, respite? Respite? He hardened his heart and refused to let Israel go. That's where a lot of people are. They'll fall under conviction. Instead of getting in, they'll fight off that conviction until they get out the door. Made her again. Made her. Why don't you stop doing that and just yield to what God wants? Wouldn't it have been much simpler for Pharaoh to say, Lord, I realize you've got more power than I do. And you've got more power than my magicians and my sorcerers do. Take your people and go. You're free to go. Let your people. I've got a book on my shelf. Miss All bought me years ago. A.W. Tozer wrote about let my people go. Is that what he said? Go tell Pharaoh that the Lord said, let thy people go. Oh, and I'm going to tell you, he wouldn't let them go. And I'm going to tell you, the devil is not likely to let sinners go today.
Right.
He's got meat hooks bound down into their heart. Boy, and I'm telling you, he's holding on to them, showing them everything in this world that they enjoy in this world and want in this world. And I'm telling you, he's got his claws under them and he will not let them go. Well, I'm going to tell you, if Jesus ever passes by, praise God, he's able to break that hold the devil has on a human soul. And he's able to deliver that soul by the grace and the power of Almighty God. Amen. That love of God will touch you. Amen. It'll set you free, friend.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Thank God. So that imprisonment finally showed respite. And Pharaoh finally let the people go. Once Moses entreated for him, he let the people go. And the Egyptians also were deprived of the river. Their sin held them in bondage. That river was their place of cleansing. That river was their place of worship. That river they could not approach to their God because of the frog. Wouldn't that be a sad day when we couldn't get to God? When Jesus said, "Come unto me!" When Paul said, "Come to the throne of grace boldly!" Amen. I'm glad that when Jesus died, I'm about to have a runner spell. When Jesus died on Calvary and ripped that veil in twain, son, He made a way! Hallelujah! If I could say I'd sang, He made a way! Thank God He made a way for me! I'm glad He made a way for you! God made a way this morning for every old sinner to get behind the veil and approach where God is! Hallelujah! Better believe He did. Amen. That's right. Bless His wonderful name. Amen. They couldn't get to their God. They finally had to go out there and with some kind of an instrument scoop their God up off the land. Dead and stinking. Isn't that a shame? They had a stinking God, didn't they? I'm glad the Lord don't work that way. Now this is the last point. I see the indignation of Jehovah upon those frogs. I'm not even going to read it through verses 12 through 15. But the Bible said those frogs, they died. I'd hate to think that I had a God that died, had no power to get up.
Amen.
He said in His own words, "I have the power to lay my life down, and I have the power to take it up again."
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
God said, "My Father has given me this power."
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Because He got up, you and I are going to get up. Oh, there's coming a glorious morning when the trumpet's going to sound. Thank God. Amen. You know, somebody told me this the other day, and I never thought of it like this. "Well, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise." Here's what that person said. "The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." He said the dead that are in the graves are going to get up at the shout. But us that are alive and remain are going to get up at the trump. I wonder if we may have something there. There's a shout and a trumpet. And there's two different people. Those that are in the grave and those that are alive and remain. But the blessed thing. Hey, the blessed thing of it is we're all going to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And more blessed is that, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Thank God. So their God died. They were disposed of. They gathered them up and piled them up in heaps. And their God, that was supposed to be such a wonderful God, defiled the whole land. Because the Bible said, they stank. God doesn't defile. God cleanses. What a stinking God they had. A frog. A reptile. And a river. I'm glad that my God is a living God. Seated in heaven. Eternal and everlasting. From everlasting to everlasting. He's God. Beside Him there is none other. Certainly not a frog or a snake. There is none other. Period. He is God. Let's stand together.